Hey, so how should we be celebrating right now? Is there a protocol to this? Is there like you cross a threshold and you know like with anniversaries like marriage, you get like the bronze and then the gold and the diamond. What's 100 episodes? How do we celebrate for that?
Is this the part where we stop blowing each other?
No, I think we've elevated to blowing each other. Previously, it was just more like a circle jerk situation.
In my head, I've been blowing you for months, bro.
Blowing my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. It's and then like we don't even do seasons. Like some people do seasons even of their podcasts, you know? And
Yeah. To be perfectly honest, I don't even know how that worked. So I just never plugged it in. I
I
still don't know
don't.
what I'm doing, guys. Still don't know what I'm doing.
This is the first time in my life I've made it to 100 anything, bro.
Oh, nice.
So I guess what I'm saying is I quit.
I'm out.
No,
Quit
I'm just
while I'm
kidding.
ahead.
Congrats to your 100th episode, guys. Keep doing your thing. Here's to 100 more. Congrats.
Yo, I would like to congratulate y'all. Like, it was your first child, your second child, your third and fourth, fifth child. Skip a few, your 100th child. Congratulations, y'all. I wish you well, prosperity, and
Hey bro, congratulations on 100 episodes. That is fantastic. I enjoy listening to your guys' podcast all the time and always look forward to the new episode. Here's to another 100 episodes. Good job, guys.
Hey fellas, this is Danny Boy. Just wanted to congratulate you guys on your 100th episode. I'm very proud of what you guys have been doing. I listen to you guys all the time. And when you guys want to talk some serious shit like dick and fart jokes, I'm your man and I will be there. Congratulations, fellas.
Yo, congratulations on the 100th episode, fellas. This is Sean from Deja Vu. Appreciate you, gentlemen. Can't wait till the club opens back up to get you guys back in there. All right, fellas. Take care. Peace.
Congratulations on your 100th episode, Social Nuisance. This is Yeni, La Prima Yeni, at La Prima Yeni, at Sinning Pretty. Thank you so much. You guys are the best. You guys keep doing your thing. Thank you, Mr. Bobby. It's because my accent, sometimes it doesn't come out right.
Hey guys, congratulations on your 100 show. Keep up the good work and we'll be celebrating more episodes soon. Have a good one. This is Ram.
Hello and welcome to the 100th Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick in your face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. We did it, man.
We
100
did it.
episodes. I feel pretty
Yeah.
good about it. Yeah. So we're still asking you, subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to continue Pound Town's growth. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, especially crossing this threshold, this next level, if you will, we've leveled up. Drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, a man who is wearing his cleanest tuxedo t-shirt for the occasion, Motion.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I just showed up. We keep hitting record and I keep showing up, and here we are.
when it comes to cars, women, money, politics, economics,
Got it covered.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
But people keep tuning in, so thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just pretty awesome, man. It's kind of crazy. We're dawning on the next presidential election, which was our initial kickoff
Our
for this
motivation, right?
show. Yeah. The 2016 election. Now we're rounding up towards the 2020 election, and we did it. We crossed 100 episodes. That's a lot of perspective and a lot of insight and opinions. And I feel like we definitely have kicked some faces.
It's also a lot of bullshit to fill
Yeah.
that much time. Jesus, come
Yeah.
on, guys.
Yeah. I think maybe I could put this on my resume as a professional bullshitter to have 100 episodes of just talking shit.
I'm pretty sure that's why you hired me on in the beginning.
Yeah, no, I think that's why we're just best friends.
My dad always said that's why I have brown eyes.
Because you're so full of shit.
I was that full of shit.
That makes sense. But
So.
I feel really good about it, man. This is pretty cool because we're doing this podcast. We do it because we love it. It's a lot of fun. And most of all, because we get to vent about the world that we live in.
Absolutely.
It's such a great platform for us. But I love the fact that we have such a core group of friends, family, supporters, fans that really enjoy the show. They dig the show. They love the show. And they're stoked for our growth. And I just want to say, you know, thanks for that. You know, it means a lot.
That's absolutely right, Monkey Butt. And I also am excited about the networking and friendships we've made with other podcasts and opportunities we've taken with them to help each other build. And then also to, you know, share fans and shine what we do on with their base and then what they do with our base. I mean, with all that being said, we had some pretty intense conversations and hopefully have opened a couple minds and definitely opened, you know, ours, yours and mine, and mine and yours. And
oh, yeah. Definitely. You know, so in addition to all of the messages that we received at the top of the show, we also got a couple that were written in. So one was from your wife.
Matt. Oh, shit.
What'd yeah, she wrote in and she said,
Is it asking for help?
First and foremost, fuck that guy motion. Not like,
yeah.
She says,
Are you sure that wasn't my sister's?
Congratulations to your guys' 100th episode. Such a huge accomplishment. Yeah, Motion yeah. and Imagine, you guys should be so proud of your motivation, hard work, and fucking awesomeness podcast that you have created. Cheers to 100 more.
There we go.
Thanks, Nat. Appreciate you.
It's approved. I'm committed for 100 more.
Yeah. That's pretty much like an official contract signing, I'd say.
She wrote it down, right?
Yeah. Andy also reached out, the mysterious and amazing Andy, if you know, you know. He said, hey, Motion and Imagine, congratulations on 100 podcasts. Technically, it's just one podcast, but hey, I'm not going to hold that against you. Congratulations on 100 podcasts. I thought for sure when you were desperate enough to have me as a guest that you would never make it, but here you are. That's fair.
Yeah,
I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't stink enough to ruin your show. Debatable. Here is to another 100 shows. Maybe one day you will make 1% of what Joe Rogan does. I won't ever make that much, but I hope you will. Dude. Hey, that's cool.
Yeah. And about that desperation, we've just doggy paddled in the exact same amount of desperation.
Yeah. You ever seen a doggy paddle just kind of doggy paddle in circles?
Like stuck in circles?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's chase our tails underwater.
That is quite a feat. But we're celebrating. We're not celebrating, and we need alcohol, we need drinks, we need the liquor to flow, and I know just who to call to make that
happen. Who do you
got? The teenagers on TikTok who are disguising themselves as senior citizens to score
alcohol. Dude, is this not like a perfect symbol of what that generation is doing? I really struggled through that, but let me elaborate. Like,
go on.
They're not even going for like a little bit older. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, let's try to look like a 30-year-old and then go and get. They're dressing up like Mama fucking Coco to walk into an AMPM and get, like, I don't know, a Bud Light seltzer or some shit.
Some fucking bottle, some White Claw, Bartles and James. Let me get the real shit.
They're like, next, their first thought is to go like above and beyond. Like, if we can get by at 30, we'll definitely get by at 60.
Well, I mean, technically, I mean, it's working. It's working, so you got to give them that credit. But you think about like that strategy. You're thinking like McLovin. McLovin, he just put on that vest, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm over 21."
Yep.
Clearly, did not work as well. So, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you're wearing the face mask. All you got to do is, you know, old yourself up a little bit, which isn't too hard in this day and age because we're all stressed the fuck out. And then you go in, you give a fake ID, even better. You're in, you're out, and you got your barefoot wine. You're good to go.
I want to hear the old people's voices.
Yeah, how are they disguising their voices?
Oh, and then they're buying a White Claw. Oh, this is for me.
I didn't even think of that. As like a retailer, I would be like, why is this old lady buying
fucking White Steel Claw Reserve?
Yeah.
MG 2020? You sure, old lady? You need a Mad Dog?
Yeah, I'm not sure this is what you should be drinking, or maybe this is like a clear indication that they're a little bit delusional.
And then they all use like the same old lady names, like Gladys and that's Cletus. I don't know. What are old lady names?
Gertrude,
Beatrice. That's all I got. I don't know any old ladies, to be honest with you.
Dolores?
Dolores is probably an old lady name.
Yeah, I'd go with Dolores.
What are girls' names now that are going to be old lady names like you know, when we die.
Karen.
A lot of, oh, Karens. Dude, how fucked is that if your name is Karen and you're like a sweet person?
How do you just, you fell into this situation.
You just asked out.
Yeah.
Poor Karen.
It's kind of like all the, I knew a girl, her name was Elsa, and she had no relation to the Disney film, but once the Disney film came out, all the snow jokes came out.
So I think,
I think it's just one of those situations where you're kind of like, oh, well, damn.
I must be an amateur comic because I don't know a single snow joke.
Really? Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like a snow joke. They were just kind of give her shit like, oh, like, your name's Elsa. Oh, do you like playing in snow or do you want to build a snowman, Elsa? Or any kind of stuff like that.
You know what, though? I can empathize because I was Bobby in the 90s every day. Oh, Bobby's World, Bobby's World, Bobby's World.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
I just hit him with the, if it's my world, get the fuck off.
Get the fuck away from me. Well, if you are a TikToker and you are buying some alcohol, just make sure you're not doing it with cash. Because in the event that you do pay with cash, you're probably not going to get your coin change. And now the internet is losing their minds over this because it's apparent conspiracy theory. You ever heard about this?
Yeah. But I know what it is. It's not a conspiracy theory.
What is it?
The mints were a part of the lockdown. The mints that produce those coins?
Yes, you are correct.
Yes!
Yes!
Yeah, yes! Yeah, 100 episodes! I got one! Yes! In your face, Dad! And so got a ma!
Finally on the board. People are sharing these posted signs where they're saying, if you come in and shop at the store, please use a credit card, debit card, gift card, what have you. Use a card, because if you're paying cash, we're not going to give you change because of the coin shortage. And or we could put that coin change on a gift card, or they'll encourage you to donate the change and round up your total and then just donate the difference.
What's the legality behind that? Are businesses required to accept cash tender? Like, it is legal tender. Like,
it's legal tender, but I mean, if they don't have change, they don't have change. But they're letting you know ahead of time. They're providing avenues, and they're saying, well, you could donate your money, you could accept this change on a gift card. As long as they're giving you your change in some capacity, they're still giving you your money back.
How about this? The last dude who donated, he was donating to me. Give me that motherfucker's change.
That's not a bad idea,
right?
You put it in a pot.
Hey, quick question.
Shoot.
What's the best city in the world?
Oh shit! I know this. I know the answer.
It's generosity.
That's right.
What's the best nation in the world?
Imagination.
Oh shit! You got me there. I was gonna say donation to tie into what we're, but you got, imagination is much better.
Yeah, we covered that one. We were walking around during Christmas time filming my music video, and there was that street performer playing, and the guy was like, "What's the best nation in the world? Donation." And I was like, "That's stupid. No, imagination."
You know what? 100 episode. We'll shout out fans along the way.
Yeah,
fucking my brother told me he made that up, and he's never lived in Riverside.
What, donation?
Yeah, well, the best city and best nation.
Kudos.
Maybe he didn't.
Great minds think alike, I suppose. I guess he's not the founder of that city or nation. But yeah, so there's a conspiracy going around that if they're not giving you your change, they're saying that it's part of a plan to enable a one world government that will track every private transaction. But in actuality, there was a recent slowdown in coin production due to the coronavirus pandemic. And just like you said, the U.S. Mint is part of the workforce that was affected. So there was a reduction of workers at the U.S. Mint because of social distancing that resulted in a 10% decrease in production in April and a 20% decrease in May. But since then, the organization went to full production last month in June, with nearly 1.6 billion coins being produced in June. So fear not, it is not a fucking conspiracy. Get off that 5G shit. It's just a coin shortage.
Coins are on the way, y'all.
I don't understand why. What's the infatuation of being woke? Like, there's good in being, you know, knowledgeable and aware. But with this woke shit has gotten out of hand, dude. I feel like it all started with chemtrails.
It's the term woke, I don't know, but, you know, conspiracy theory. Well, isn't woke and chemtrails two different things? Like, woke is supposed to be like awake and alert of the system around us and how it's, you know, being used against us. And then conspiracy theories are like, that's not necessarily woke, is it?
Well, I think the term woke has been hijacked the same way that Donald Trump hijacked fake news.
I thought fake news was his term.
No, fake news was a term that was being utilized to call out news that was fake. Like, that's not real news. Like, the term fake news was being utilized for, like, exaggerated articles or articles that were not based in fact. So it was just it was called fake news. But then, you know, Donald Trump became someone who heard a cool term and then overused it and eventually adopted it.
Well, he definitely made it famous then. I knew there were rainbows, like, before the gays. I didn't know there was fake news before Trump, but Trump made fake news his rainbow.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, well, you know what, though? I'm glad fucking woke got hijacked.
Why?
Not really sure. No, because the people, there was an arrogance behind, like, saying that you're woke, and I felt like a lot of it was, like, virtue signaling and not really, like, you can't just say you're woke and then it means, like, you're the, like, beholder of all knowledge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Especially if you're not someone who's actually smart.
Yeah, well, and then not only that, but, like, these are things that other titles that other people deem onto you, not that you deem onto yourself, you know?
Oh, like giving yourself a nickname?
Yeah, it's like, dude, okay, so I guess it would have been synonymous in my head with, like, enlightened, but more on a reality level than a philosophical level, right? Like, okay. I'm enlightened on current events. I'm educated, I know. But you can't, just because you say you're woke doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
But you know what it can do? Maybe it was like this generation's Axe body spray. Remember Axe body spray? They said it would attract women, but it only attracted other dudes who used Axe body spray.
Yeah, that's funny because that is so fucking true. Like someone who like sprayed Axe body spray, like, oh, what's up, bro?
Yeah, like if you sprayed Axe body spray, there was another big dude, probably with tribal tattoos, gonna approach you at the bar like, is that semen salmon flavor?
It's funny because it's true, man.
like when you say you're woke, you don't actually attract anybody but other people who deem themselves woke.
Yeah, that's true. That is super true.
And then you guys fall into that echo chamber of the only two or three things that you believe in, and you never really learn.
Yeah, and then your wokeness turns into an organization called QAnon.
Dude, this 100th episode, I'm fucking on, dude.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. You're doing great.
You should just tell me every episode's our 100th episode, and I'll go in there like this.
Okay, cool. You're doing as a successful of a job as Valentina Sampaio.
Oh my god, dude!
Dude, Valentina killing the game, bro.
Dude, I think Sports Illustrated fucked up beforehand that she was transgendered.
Yeah, Valentina Sampaio is the first transgender model to appear in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. She is a 23-year-old Brazilian beauty, and she was named a 2020 rookie for the upcoming issue, which is now stands July 21st. I want that promo money. Again, this marks the first time the iconic magazine has featured a transgender model. She looks great.
Dude, phenomenal. Like, she could get cracked open. But my thing was, Sports Illustrated should have two things. One is she's probably Rookie of the Year in another Sports Illustrated that we don't know. Never mind. Anyways, that was a bad transgender joke. They can't all be home runs, guys. No, I think it would have been hilarious if Sports Illustrated didn't announce that she was transgender, and then let all those fucking like meatheads who get Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, and then beat off to it, and then like a month or two later said, "Oh, you remember that one? That one was transgender," and then let all of them either learn to accept transgender or hurt themselves. You know, whatever. Either way, it's win-win.
Well, you also got to think about that. I think most people looking at the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition are not reading anyways. So even if you did have a label that said transgender model, they're not reading that. They're just Googling.
Yeah. But it's made waves across the news. Like I heard about it everywhere. And don't check my search history right now.
I think it's awesome. I really like the fact that, you know, the idea of beauty is starting to expand. I'm not sure if you saw that viral video that went around where it was a Calvin Klein ad and it was a black transgender female lesbian who was on the billboard. and your historical context of what you would be deemed as beauty, this person was definitely not. But they made it their own, and they were shining bright, and they fucking looked awesome on that billboard. And I just like the fact that it's starting to expand. I mean, I think you look back to like other previous campaigns, like the Dove Be Yourself campaign, where it wasn't just women that were like swimsuit models, but everyday women. And you're starting to see that definition of beauty starting to expand a lot further. And I think Valentina's feature in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit is the next step in that. And it's just a continued expansion of the definition of beauty, gender roles, so on and so forth. And I think beautiful is beautiful. And she looks great. She's killing it.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because like with that Dove ad, I see your point, and I agree with it 1,000% as far as expanding the idea of what beauty is.
Yeah.
But also, I think really what happened with this is they didn't change the idea of beauty. They just kind of expanded who can fit into it, because she definitely fits the description of like what you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Which she does fit like stereotypical beauty.
Right. Stereotypical beauty for Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition.
So, you're right. Yeah, they definitely opened up the doors to who can, you know, apply for the position and then who could earn it. And I, like I've always said, dude, the best one for the job should get it. And she fucking got it, dude.
Yep. Killed it. What else is going on?
Did you see the Bobby D?
Bobby D. What?
Robert De Niro.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You sent over the article. So give me the backstory on that.
All right. So the backstory is Robert De Niro is in the process of divorcing his wife.
Yes.
She gets a credit card of $50,000 a month limit every month.
$100.
No. She's asking for $100 right now.
Oh, I thought she was having issues with it being downgraded.
She has 50, and what I read was she's at 50 and she's asking for up to 100 now.
Ah.
And then he, to which his lawyer retorted, you know what? Because of coronavirus, Robert De Niro is going to be lucky to make $7.5 million this year. To which my first thought was, I too would be lucky to make $7.5 million. But, you know, like this, one, he was always so proud about being like one of the, you know, Italian macho type to marry a one outside of his race, and right. then two, you know, an African-American woman.
Mm-hmm.
Something tells me he's not still using the term African-American. But let's, I really wanted to talk about this because, you know, I have friends and that have not just lost their positions, but their businesses, and are completely asked out and are scratching the ground looking for everything.
Right.
Like, if she got the 100,000, that's 1.2. That's what, like 13% of his income.
I was told there'd be no math.
Sorry. I don't know how those divorces work out. I don't know if she should earn half. I mean, right. I don't think she should earn half. She never once fake killed someone in a mobster movie. But, you know, like, I don't know that that's fair or not. But the fucking balls on these people right now, like, when the world is burning, people are choking to fucking death.
Yeah.
Lunatics like us have reached their 100th episode. And they have the fucking nerve to bitch and complain. Like, dude, $50,000 a month? Nothing for nothing, but make it fucking work. Make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you're living a life of affluence, just make it work, man.
Dude. Perspective. Like, and, you know, for Robert De Niro, I'll be lucky to make $7.5 million. What the fuck? Like, I wouldn't. Dude, I don't know if it would be best to just had done the 100,000 and not gotten any publicity about it.
Yeah.
But you're the one on stage, you know, saying fuck Trump, this and that, blah, blah. Dude. There's nothing about you that makes me feel like you're sticking up for, you know, for the lower class anymore.
Yeah, I would hope that the statement of I'd be lucky to make $7.5 million came from like his lawyer or accountant.
It was his lawyer. Yeah.
Okay. Because it, at that point, that's also a display of clear ignorance, you know, because when I look at my problems, you know, I got laid off, not living where I want to be. And I have a number of problems. I have a number of problems that I do not find favorable. But at the same time, I always, always catch myself when I'm complaining. And I always remind myself, yo, someone is praying for my problems. And I feel lucky to have the problems that I do have. And I never complain about it. I mean, it's just not something you want to do, especially during this point in time. I know like a number of people who are going through a lot worse than I'm going through, not having any money in the bank account, facing eviction, not having a job, not facing any type of, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. But, you know, they keep going. But then you have people who are in these affluent positions like Robert De Niro and his ex-wife, Jeff Bezos, and whoever the fuck is out there. It's like, what the hell do you have there to complain about?
You're good. Like you're not going through anything. All the things you listed are like legitimate problems and issues that we got to fucking figure out on a daily grind. You have no struggle.
Yeah.
Not and you, but you know, these people, this,
yeah,
this
yeah.
And affluent that, division of America.
And that's not to say that money solves everything. You could have tons of money and still be depressed. I totally get that.
Yeah. But then you also can afford the best doctors, the best medicine.
Exactly. You're still in a position where you can still, you know, treat some of it or even explore avenues. Others don't have those options. We're just fucked and that's it, period. and that sucks. So to hear about...
The thing is, she's asking for an increased limit on her monthly credit cards. You know, she's allowed this money on a credit card.
Yeah.
Does that mean she spends that every month?
Or, I presume so. If she's needing more, it's because she spent all of it.
That's
bitch, on what? On what?
That's
I've always said, if I was to win the lottery, I don't know what I would do with all that money.
I'm assuming she gets like free costs too. I'm sure her housing's paid for, vehicles. Like I'm thinking that's literally just spending money.
I don't understand. I mean, I could win the lottery and have all that money. I've tried to break it down and really fucking spend money. And you always have some left over. You don't need that much fucking money.
Oh, which, I could blow
mean,
it.
I see, that's people always say that too. Like, I can blow it. And I'm like, okay, let's go through it. Let's try it. And we go through it. And ultimately, you still have millions of dollars left. I just don't understand. Here's the thing I was thinking about the other day. In regards to making that kind of money, making stupid amount of money, what would you say to a $1 billion earnings cap for every American? As soon as you make over $1 billion, the rest of it gets taxed. You can't make more than $1 billion. It goes back into the system.
So there's an emotional side of me that says, that's absolutely great. Like, that's fair. I love it. But there's another side of me that says the reason that this nation is great, you know, is because the potential to be endless, to be the sky's the limit.
Draws, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Or Elon Musk or, you know, whoever. That thought, that hope brings some of the greatest people here to pull off their accomplishments. I don't like capping someone's, you know, the amount of success they can have. Will I agree and say that you can achieve unnecessary, you know, yields? Absolutely. But I don't want to say what someone can and can't make. And then on top of it, the bureaucracy that will follow, people will just hire, you know, their kid and pay that. Like, there'll be so many, you can't really enforce that.
That's fair. That's fair. I see where you're going with that.
But I do, in my heart, I love the idea. I think it's great. And then the other thing is, like, who do we fucking trust to do what with that money? Like, I hate the way the government spends money now. You know, and like...
Well, I agree with you there. Like, I totally agree with you. When I say the money goes back into the system, that's also a separate conversation of repairing the system and the fact that it's super fucked already. But... And the fact when you have extravagant, grotesque amounts of wealth, I feel like that limits the opportunity for others. Yeah, there's more people who are just as innovative, ambitious, assertive, that have these amazing business ideas, but just no capital to explore. But if there was the ability to draw from a pool of capital, because people are maxing out. But even then, what are the odds of you maxing out? How many billionaires are there in America?
I know the number has grown over time. Yeah. I do agree with you that there is a limited pool. I have been a big believer that the world's resources are finite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's only so much of everything. And the more Jeff Bezos there are, the less there is of even, I mean, I don't know. See, Alex Rodriguez, the guy makes $100 million or something.
Right.
So I feel like our world would be a lot better off with way more 100 millionaires than, yeah. you know, billionaires. But people will go where the potential is. And then when you're saying draw from it, like that, us capping Bezos doesn't increase someone else's opportunity really whatsoever.
I think the exploration of the idea, I would have to get into the nitty gritty of economics and redistribution and blah, 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 to really figure out soundly. And I think that would come with like running for office. I could probably figure that out and then run for office. But I don't know. I was driving. Most of my thoughts are driving thoughts. People would, like think in the shower. I think when I drive, most of my, what's come when I drive. I was thinking who would not be happy with like $800 million? Cause you're thinking like, okay, I don't want to deter anyone from making money. I want you to be as driven and to gain power and just everything that comes along with extravagant amount of money. I want you to still chase.
But I think the people who get to those levels do think extremely competitively and do take it personal when someone else, especially in the same, field, is earning capital. Like, I don't think you get to those levels being a sweetheart. And if you do, I think it's really like, I think it's a, you know, the stars have aligned. You had insane talent. You were prepared. You were ready. You did the work. But I think that people with that like cutthroat mentality are way more likely to make it to that level than the person you're describing.
Absolutely. And the cutthroat person still can be cutthroat and make $1 billion. You can make $1 billion. I'm not saying you can't have $1 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
You can have only $1 billion.
And no, I was just addressing the one thought you had about where, like, I still want you to go do these things, but those motherfuckers don't want, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, this is what's killing me about the whole pandemic thing. Like, there's so many perspectives to the lockdown, right? There's so many things. There's a health perspective. There's a business perspective. There's a family perspective. Schools now are adding to it because that's around the corner. But this is what's fucking crazy to me. Because it wasn't a true lockdown, there's an estimate right now that 40% of American small businesses are not going to be able to reopen.
Right.
But they allowed Amazon to work during that time, and they stand to profit insanely from these people not opening their doors again.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you should have shut them down too.
I agree. It should have been an absolute full lockdown.
The other thing, it just was a quick thought that I had about the shutdown. Wouldn't it be so much more effective if they literally just shut down the freeways, put K-rails on the on-ramps? Because if you had to work or travel 30 miles, you're not going to do it by street. You know what I mean?
That's not a bad idea, man.
Like, that would cut traveling down so much. If this is a real lockdown, shut the freeways down.
That's true. That's a great idea.
People asking about the beach on 4th of July? Not anymore, they're not.
They're not going to drive by the streets to get there. All those red lights? Fuck no.
Streets would be wild.
What a great idea, man. 2 points to Motion for genius on that.
Yo.
That's a good one, man. I did not think of that at all. That is out of the box.
I just had that idea the other day.
Were you driving too? Like, my thoughts are driving.
Probably, but usually when I'm driving, I'm just looking in the rear view.
that's not. So if you want to make $1 billion, you got to have a really good business idea, unless it's a really bad business idea. So there was a woman who was considering ending her relationship with her boyfriend due to his horrible business idea, and she turned to Reddit looking for relationship advice. And she was saying that her boyfriend became infatuated with his genius idea of soup directly delivered to your home via a citywide tube system. And you would pay a membership fee for like the soup of the month.
You can have a kid with this guy, right?
You can have like a water faucet, and then you have your soup faucet.
She didn't procreate with him, right?
There's no update as to the relationship and whether if it's still going or not. But a lot of people chimed in and it made me think. I've had a lot of bad ideas, or at least a lot of business ideas. You know, some I've actually had a lot of ideas. And I wonder, I want to ask, you know, all my exes out there, and even my current wife, have they considered ending the relationship with me just because of my ideas? Do you think they have? Like, hey, we're going to start a podcast. Like, you went to Nat, I went to Daisy. Hey, we're going to start a podcast. At what point are they like, I should probably cut this off?
I mean, I don't know. I like, if it's business ideas, I don't really have bad business ideas because I'm very practical and I'm always trying to, like, what could go wrong? Right. But as far as bad ideas, oh, bro, I'm full of them. Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
What do you think was your worst idea?
Like today?
I mean, sure, today. I mean, in your thoughts of bad ideas, what's up there?
You want to know how stupid I am?
How stupid are you, Motion?
That I'm having a hard time thinking of a bad idea because I probably honestly believe they're still good ideas.
that's fair.
A bad idea I had. Fuck. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I can't. That's, you're putting me on the spot.
I know, because I'm trying to think of like bad business ideas too. I don't think I have bad business ideas. I just have bad ideas in general. Most of them include like jumping off the roof or, I don't know, high speed vehicles, paint.
Yeah. Mine are probably retorts to cops. Yeah, I don't know, dude. That's a good one.
Get into a fight with a Latina. That's also a bad idea. Don't do that.
Yeah, dude. Or an Italian chick. Just, you know.
Well, anyways, do you have any advice for this lady? So she had, you know, a relationship. She liked this guy. But he was really hell-bent on a soup direct.
One, it's fucking obvious that it was her idea. And she was trying to see if she could get traction. And her boyfriend told her.
What makes you think it was her idea?
You don't go on Reddit and be like, hey guys, like if you first of all, don't go to Reddit to affirm any ideas.
Okay, that's true.
You know, I think someone left her over the idea and she was trying to get after me. Like, can you guys believe this, but not in those words?
Ah, got you. That's true.
I belong to one of those, like, you know, the city pages where, like, oh, what's going on in your city? You know, right. Fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And those people are fucking terrible, dude.
Oh,
someone,
yeah.
Like, anytime someone asks for advice or like, hey, I'm new to town, I go, not the place. Like, this is not the fucking place to say anything hopeful, bro.
Yeah, just don't.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what a good woman would have done? She would have had her man's back, slowly eased the idea out of his brain, replaced it with something more logical, like soup delivering dogs.
I would have suggested that he build a prototype leading directly to her room. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if they're living together, like, okay, tell you what, you want to do this idea? Cool. I'll be your first free trial subscriber. You go put some soup on the stove, hook up the tubes, get it all going, and I will sit here and I will wait for soup to arrive, and I will try the soup. That's all I'll do. I'll encourage you. You do the rest of the work. I'll be your soup taster.
We're also approaching this like this was his first idea. For her to leave, this would have had, like, you know what, dude? I'm fucking done with your dumb shit.
with your, you know, dumb, I mean, ideas.
Dude, like, because I, you know what? Now, all right, I changed. I'm with her. Okay. If someone told me that shit, and I was in, like, a serious relationship with them, and it was heading somewhere serious, yeah, I would have to be like, I'm out. I can't believe you thought this would work.
I would like to see his pitch on a Shark Tank. I think it would go well.
Dude, they should do that every, like, maybe once a season. Just throw someone in there who isn't fucking around, but you know doesn't, you know, like this guy.
A fucking,
like,
chance.
That far-fetched, you know what I mean? Because every once in a while, that guy would make the real world cast.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I got a million-dollar idea.
Yep. It can't be a parody. It has to be someone who really believes. Yeah.
They totally believe in it. I'll never forget an episode of Shark Tank where there was a guy who his invention was a robot hand that would pet your dog when you were not home. And you could, like, control it on, like, an app. So you could, like, voice the microphone to call your dog to the robot. the dog would arrive to the robot, and then you hit the button on your phone that says like pet, and it would just like pet your dog.
See, my
he was my serious.
What if the dog ends up like way more loyal to the robot than you? Look, robots are already going to take over. They don't need the assistance of our best friend.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Traitors. The one thing we have, remember that stupid movie with Will Smith when he's killing zombies and he has a dog?
Yeah, I Am Legend.
Yeah, imagine if the dog was on their team. That movie would be 6 minutes long.
You're not wrong, dude. You're
that dog's name would have been Jada.
Oh, so speaking of polyamory, the city of Somerville, Massachusetts, they're going to recognize polyamorous relationships. Just the city in Massachusetts. So polyamorous relationships, if those who don't know, those are relationships with three or more people in them. Usually it's historically, most examples include three people. So one man, two women, one woman, two men. Three men, three women, so on and so forth. Polyamorous. So they've recognized the relationship as a means to help residents who are not married to visit their partners who are sick with coronavirus at the hospital. So if you're in a polyamorous relationship, the wife could go visit the sick husband, but the girlfriend could not go visit her boyfriend as well. So they've recognized polyamorous relationships, and now that way that third person can now go visit their sick partner.
Oh, good for them,
man.
Yeah. I was just thinking it must suck to live in a place called Somerville, Massachusetts during the winter, because I'm sure it's cold as dick out there.
That's what you were thinking about? That's what you're fixated on?
Yeah, kind of the whole time.
Just thinking. No,
the other thing I was thinking, I think I might be in a polyamorous relationship because I'm pretty sure this house is haunted. Oh, I think it's me now and a ghost.
Oh, really? What, is it a female ghost at least?
You know, I don't know.
I would think that would be a slight win in your haunted tale.
I'm going to have to let you know when it gets to the point of ghost, it don't fucking matter, dude.
Got it.
Because it's creepy as shit, dude.
So on the topic of Jada and Will, everyone's talking about it. So from what I understand, they were on a quote unquote break, at which point Jada had the entanglement with that guy.
Yeah. Here's my only problem.
That's how it goes, right? I mean, that's what it is.
One thing, I thought it was common knowledge that they had an open relationship. I thought that was...
I thought that as well.
Yeah, so, but there's two things here at play. One, like, why the fuck, and this has got to be the both of them, are they, like, trying to compete with the Kardashians? Why air it out on a YouTube show? You know, like...
Red Table Talk.
Yeah, I don't want that. I didn't understand. There's something in my head that says they're chasing the Kardashians. They want to be the next family.
They took advantage of it. So it got aired out in the press beforehand, but they came clean about it on her YouTube show.
Here's the other thing though. And this is where we talk about double standards. Had Will been with one of his 23-year-old daughter's girlfriends, it would have been all kinds of hell. It would have been, Me Too, abuse of power. This man's so much older, but you flip it. And it's a 50-some-year-old woman with a 23-year-old man who's a friend of her son's, then it's just like her helping herself heal. That's the only issue that I have with it. And it's not really an issue because I think anybody should be able to fuck anybody if they're consenting and of age.
I agree. That's kind of where I'm at as well. I don't really care. It's funny because like people were asking me, like, what do you think about it? I was like, I don't know because, well, number one, it's not my business what two people do. As deciding adults, whatever. I'm more like talking about like the polyamorous news and being recognized by the city. Like I think those stories push the needle forward more than like the Jada Pinkett Will Smith thing. I think just because they were celebrities, it became a thing.
Have you noticed that there is a trend going on with the generation? Is it preceding us, the younger people? They have like decided to take aim at every single one of our heroes. And it's like a trend to destroy like professionals at their occupation. Like, you know, it's been a thing to destroy Eminem. Arguably one of the best rappers who ever lived. Now they're trying to destroy Will. Like coming at him hard, you know, I mean, there's a few of them. but it just seems like, is that going to be this generation's thing? Is it's already been built. Let's see how we can take it all apart now.
No, I don't think it's a concerted effort. I think it's more of those situations where you live long enough to be the villain.
Yeah.
You know, you're celebrated in your heyday, and ultimately as you get older, you become, fiction or mythological in a sense. And if you become that popular, I mean, you're fucking Will Smith, one of the greatest celebrity stars of all time. People want that magnifying glass when things are not as rosy.
You think they should have Kurt Cobain'd?
I don't think they should Kurt Cobain. I think they should just mind their own fucking business.
No, yeah, not those people. I'm talking about the to get out before you're that, before you fall out,
Not at all. I think you should just be you and just do you. And, the choices that you choose are what you decide to do. In the same way that you have people who age gracefully, like Audrey Hepburn. I fucking love Audrey Hepburn. Versus someone like, Madonna, who has a different lifestyle. And that's the way she wants to age and live her legacy. Madonna was the greatest pop star in the early 90s. And now who is she now? I think you have people who want to put a magnifying glass on the eccentricities about her. Same way like Will Smith. Like people will talk about Will Smith being a Scientologist. They're talking about Will Smith being in an open relationship. I mean, fucking cares, man. If that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do.
Discussing the Smiths made me think of a quick question. Would you rather watch your most adventurous sexual escapade with your parents or watch their most adventurous sexual escapade with them?
Wait, what?
Yeah, sorry. Would you rather watch your most adventurous sexual escapade or your parents with them in the living room? Like either your tape goes in and it's your most adventurous sexual.
Okay. Do I want to watch my sex tape or do I want to watch their sex tape?
Yeah, with them.
With them.
Yeah, they're there in the room.
Oh, I want to watch mine. Easy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a fucking superstar, man. I'm telling you. This is like Ray J and Kim Kardashian kind of shit. I'll be famous. I should release it. I should just put it out.
But you have your best one on tape?
Oh, absolutely. Who doesn't?
I don't know. It's like bad ideas. I would have to go back and figure out which,
It's one of the many bad ideas. This is exactly what you're talking about. This is a bad idea. I still think it's a good idea.
Yeah. In fact, we should just get everybody together. And I don't know. I think I might want to watch my parents so I can finally, shut my fucking pops up. I'm like, see, you weren't that good at anything.
Yeah, this was off. What kind of angle is that? What are you trying to pull off there? You're not that flexible. What's wrong with you?
This is your most adventurous one? That's your room. something like that. I don't know.
That's funny. Okay. We got
what do we got next?
We got another story, or we can get into a deep question.
Let's get into something deep.
Well, I think the question the story leads into the deep question. So let's cover the story real quick. So
let's do it.
Real quickly, just recently, Asheville, North Carolina, the city council approved reparations for the black community. So this is the first time that I can recall that reparations has been officially acknowledged and approved by a local government or government of any kind, really.
Okay.
They unanimously passed a resolution that does not mandate direct payments. Instead, it will make investments in areas where black residents face disparities. So they're going to create a community reparations commission that will ensure the resulting budgetary and programmatic priorities that may include but not be limited to increasing minority home ownership and access to other affordable housing, increasing minority business ownership and career opportunities, strategies to grow equity and generational wealth, closing the gaps in healthcare, education, employment, and pay, neighborhood safety, and fairness within the criminal justice. That sounds pretty dope.
Yeah, but that's not reparations. I mean, that sounds like you're doing what you should have been fucking doing. Like, that it is dope. It's great. Hats off to you. I'm glad you're moving in the right direction. I was actually just trying to pull up their demographics right now. But that's one. That's not reparations. And yeah, I mean, good policy.
I totally agree with you. All of all of those things are what they should be doing. But I think it's the city acknowledging that race historically played a factor in being imbalanced. So I think they're just tipping the scale the other way and saying, look, we're gonna have an allotment amount of money that is going to be specifically towards people of color. In this case, African-American, Black community specifically. So we are going to discriminate. So if you are white, you can't get this money.
Yeah. I was just looking there. 78% white, 18% Black, 3% Hispanic, and then a whole bunch of 1% of other stuff. So I think that makes it even more remarkable because it's not, I thought they would be closer, met in the middle between, you know, Black and white.
Yeah, it was a unanimously passed resolution. That's crazy. 7-0.
I think this is great. This is a great role model for many cities to follow. And this is exactly what we should be doing. And I don't think you necessarily have to defund the cops to do that. You know, so that, you know, hats off, but, you know, call it what it is, because that's not reparations.
So what would, so do you, okay, so two questions then. Number one, do you think the African-American community would accept this as reparations? And two, do you not accept this as reparations? And if so, what would be acceptable as reparations? 40 acres and a mule?
I mean, 40 acres would, is that even reparation? That's what they were promised, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's reparation. I always took reparations as cash payment, but 40 acres is definitely a cash payment. I don't know. I can't speak on behalf of the Black community. From the friends that I have and the conversations that we had, we wouldn't take, I don't think this would be considered a reparation, wouldn't be accepted as one. Not that it wouldn't be celebrated and embraced and, you know, something to brag about, but reparations is direct payment. This country built its wealth off the backs of people that never got paid for it. And there it is possible to track back what, you know, huge corporations exist now and invested in, you know, slavery owned businesses or slavery ran businesses. Right. And it is able to find descendants of those slaves and get them some of that money. You know, Rockefeller wouldn't be what Rockefeller is without the fucked up shit it did, you know, Carnegie, yeah. So on and so forth. So it's not that it's not possible. It's definitely possible. In fact, it's not that fucking hard. And this isn't, you can't say you gave reparations to someone that it is not a person. It's, you're giving reparations to a community or to a budget. That's not reparations. There's no direct payment there. And, you know, like I said, that's not reparations to me. And,
but you know, you're right. I'm not really digesting the story and understanding what it is. I think that perspective is exactly right. You're trying to right the wrongs. And I think the reparations is the word that people have become fixated on. Like, the only way we can do this is with reparations. The problem being is that reparations isn't so clearly defined, unifyingly defined and accepted. You have people saying, well, I want cash payment. I want 40 acres value and a mule. I want, you know, the investment in the Black community. I want this. I want that. Who's to say what is and what isn't reparations? And I think the only true reparations is the addressing of systemic injustice and everything that we've just talked about.
Absolutely.
And I think that's such a large conversation that I don't see it happening anytime soon.
And if I were to like endorse anybody's plan for reparations, it would have to be true reparations. It wouldn't be just you printing off another $1 trillion, you know, thus cutting the dollar down even more and then passing it out. That's not real, you know?
Yeah.
The 40 acres, I don't know where there is to give 40 acres, but I know that if you want to create generational wealth and you want to take care of your children, a lot of it starts with owning land. Yep. And that might be the fucking right thing to do, whatever it is. But
yeah, it's a tough one. But now that we've digested that story a little bit further, I'm cautious of the utilization of the term reparations as simply putting glitter on dog shit. The glitter being the term reparations, the dog shit still being a shitty deal.
Yeah,
so I'm concerned about where we're going with that term reparations and how it's being utilized in the political cycle.
And if I was a Black voter, I wouldn't be excited about someone talking about reparations. I would want a real Black agenda and what this country is going to do to not just make right those things, but push forward in advance. You know, there's a segment of our country that's suffering, dude, that's hurting. And not only have we been pissing and shitting on it, I mean, we've not only have we not been helping it, but we've been negatively affecting it, going out of our way to make it worse. And I would want a candidate who's going to address undoing that. I wouldn't want someone to just say I think reparations exactly. is so far-fetched, and I honestly don't think it'll ever happen. But it's an easy bait and switch. It's a simple vote. Yeah. And right. I mean, that's how I would feel if I was a black voter, but I'm not a black voter, and I don't know how the fuck I would feel if I was black. So
Fair enough. Hey, black listeners, let us know what you think about that.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's get deep. So the question is race a biological category or a social construct?
I think at this point it's become an amalgamation of both, right? Like, because no matter what social construct you're born in, sorry guys, I just had a stroke. No matter what social construct you're born in, you are a member of a race, right? So it's not like you can just be a race. You can't just be free and exist as this. You're going to exist as a cog in a machine wherever you are in the world.
Which means you're a social construct.
It's
defined as a social construct. That's what I'm leaning towards. I don't think it's a biological thing. Like, you're biologically.
Definitely biologically a race, right? Because isn't that like your ethnicity is not your nationality?
Well, ethnicity, nationality, I don't think race is a thing. I mean, ethnicity, I think culturally, like, you're from South America, you're from Europe, you're from fucking the Antarctica. I think there's some qualities to where you may be born, as well as what culture you've been brought up in. But ultimately, I think the human race is the only race that we all actually have. Everything else is just a social construct to define or help us define who people are, where they're from, and how to categorize them. I think it's just a social construct.
According to, I don't know, some website, race refers to a person's physical characteristics such as bone structure, skin, hair, or eye color. An example of race is brown, white, or black skin. All various parts of the world, while an example of ethnicity would be your ancestry, like German or Spanish. So does that mean, except for, say I had the same bone structure, hair, and eye color as a black man, would we be members of the same race except the skin? I don't know. You might be right. It might be so loosely fucking defined, and it's become such a taboo word that nobody even wants to talk about what the fuck it is.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's a social construct. Final answer. Until otherwise.
I'm going to say I'm too fucking dumb to know. Like,
that's acceptable answer.
You know what's funny? Like, this is what's really funny. Oh, here, I got two things about race. One is I went to Google, what is the definition of race? Tell me why the first 10 things were like a foot race, a car race, a bike race. Even Google's afraid to define race. Second thing, this is what I've found this to be fucking hilarious, okay? And I'll probably get in trouble for this. I don't know if it's going to come up later when I'm running for principal or whatever. But if you ask a child, like, younger than 8 or younger, we'll say that.
Okay.
And you say a race, you say, what does this race laugh like? Like, their fucking perspectives on it's so, and you ask all the races. You don't pick one out, you know, and to let them know you're not fucking with them, or because everybody thinks I'm always fucking with them. I start with my race.
Yeah.
Is, and then I just kind of go from there. Dude, that's my new favorite thing to ask kids. Like, hey, what does, you know, so-and-so laugh like? And it is fun AF, bro.
That sounds fun. I think that is very insightful. That's funny.
It is so fun, dude.
We're reaching towards the end of the show. This has been a great 100th episode. Great conversation.
Yeah, and, we did good.
Before we cut out of here, I want to get to some you-know-whats. You have any this week?
I do got a you-know-what.
Oh, man, hit me with it.
I say, you know what?
What?
COVID has made conversations as valuable as physical intimacy. If I can get a life-altering infection by conversing with someone, motherfucker, you better have some important shit to say.
You better make this count.
Dude, if I was single, I wouldn't risk a single breath on a dumb bitch who says things like, can I steal you for a second? Or something like, you know, the current cast of Saturday Night Live is the best of all time. This is the type of bitch I would call a double masker. You remember there used to be double baggers?
Yes.
You need two masks.
Two masks. For this product.
Yeah.
We got to filter out the COVID, and we got to filter out the bullshit that came out of your mouth.
The only shot you would have at this bitch is if you literally don't fucking open your mouth.
That's funny. That's really good stuff. You know what?
What's that?
Social distancing is the abstinence of 2020.
Is it?
Nobody wants to do it. It's super uncool, but it's the most foolproof way of avoiding COVID-19. But of course, if you don't want to do abstinence, there's an alternative protection. You can, you know, you can wear condoms, or in this case, a mask. Uh-huh. So in this essence, you know, masks, they're just face condoms, really, at this point.
Yeah.
Social distancing is abstinence, and masks are just face condoms. So take your pick. You can really, you know, you could chance it out with the face mask, and your percentage of getting infected definitely decreases, but your only 100% is staying the fuck away. So I never thought I'd be a proponent of abstinence, but social distancing, stay the fuck home. I'm with that. No face condoms.
You got a girl at home. If we're the way we were before we met these women, dude, we'd be fucking rolling the dice, dude. I know I would be.
You're probably right. I'm not going to fucking lie. You're probably right.
You know what?
What?
A lot of men got to learn where the cameras don't catch. You seen this new shit? Like people running around trying to fuck up street vendors?
Yeah.
They need to bait these assholes into invisible areas and start peeling wigs back, dude.
Yeah.
But these are low-level predators who, if proceed unchecked, will move up to like lemonade stands and even Girl Scouts.
Girl Scouts.
Dude, half these elote men don't have real ID. Just get to a spot where you know the cameras don't look and fucking blast off, dude. You can't let this shit fly no more, man.
I support that. You gotta protect yourself. I'm okay with the elote men packing.
If there's a type of person that no one will go looking for, it's the type of person that jumps elote men.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So if they come up missing, I'm fucking nobody miss them.
Yeah. If you're going to take down an elderly man or a senior citizen of any kind, for that matter, fuck y'all.
Yep.
Hey, you know what?
What's that, bro?
Anti-maskers are the new anti-vaxxers.
Oh.
They deny science. They're selfish as shit. They think that they're woke. It's the same shit. The same people that don't want to believe in vaccinations are the same people who are saying, I'm not wearing a mask. You're still dumb as fuck. And read a book.
That's a fucking awesome observation, dude.
You think so? Yeah.
I do.
Anti-mask, anti-vax, same thing. I hate you both.
Yep.
Yeah. Just wanted to get that off my chest.
Dude, put it on mine.
Okay. Don't I always?
Seep it all over mine, bro.
You got any more?
No, man. Hey, dude, we're 100 in.
100 in, and I really got to say, I fucking love this show, dude. I know through the 100 episodes that we've had some amazing discussions, some in-depth discussions, some heated discussions, but the one thing I can always count on is an unapologetic, real opinion perspective that is thought-provoking and intelligent to boot from you, sir. So I just want to thank you, man. I want to thank you for these great conversations that we've always had and that we were brave enough to hit the record button on. So thank you.
Yeah, man. And I want to thank you for giving me a venue to allow me to be myself, man. It's very few spaces on Earth and very even less relationships where I really get to just let the fucking shit go and be me, dude. And thank you for all the work that you put into this show. Like, it is no joke if you're a listener. The only reason you're listening to it is all the structure and construction of the show leading up to the very episode. And then any and all technical work following the episode, it's all imagined. I literally get to step in the batter's box, swing the bat, and then go home. So I'm truly grateful to you for the work that you put into this, man, for your friendship. I absolutely love you. I love your family.
Likewise. And
I can't wait to do this, you know, another 4 years, dude.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm so stoked. I'm really excited for the amount of growth that we've had. But most of all, I really got to thank, you know, the fans or supporters or friends, family, everyone who's ever shared or talked about the show. Fucking thank you, man. Like we love doing the show and we just wanted to do it for each other. And I remember when we first started out, we had like 2 listens here, you know, 7, 12 here and there. And now we're averaging these numbers and I'm just like, fuck, man, this is fucking cool, dude. Like, we have an actual shot of being something completely independent, and that's completely due to our listeners. So if you're out there, let it be known. I fucking appreciate you so much for allowing me the opportunity to entertain you, to enlighten you, to let us make you laugh along the way, and giving us in turn the opportunity to have a new direction on our own employment. We get to be our own bosses on this fucking show, and it's fucking great.
And when I finally get to see you again, dude, I'm going to fucking lick your big, dumb Democrat face from here to here, dude. I'm going to put...
I'm okay with that happening.
I'm going to taste every pore.
I just got to vaccinate first.
Yeah.
For sure. As always, want to thank you all for joining us here.
And Sergeant Starburst.
Before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a five-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do and continue to try to do, drop a dollar in the Venmo.
We know you get $1,000 a week unemployment. Share!
At Social Nuisance. And lastly, as always, don't forget there was power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion. And for the 100th time, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.
Toodaloo, motherfuckers.